The Speaker of the House of Representatives will now canvass and publish the vote cast for Governor. Speaker Cairns.
As provided under Section 4, Article 5 of the Oregon Constitution, I, Grattan Cairns, Speaker of the House of Representatives, have hereby examined the voting returns from the last general election for the office of Governor of the State of Oregon, and find that the Honorable Victor Attia has received the highest number of votes cast for the office and has been duly elected Governor.
We are certainly all reminded on the occasion of this inauguration of a great light who has gone out with the death of Tom McCall, the former governor of Oregon. I would ask that you all stand for a moment of silence in remembrance of former Governor McCall. The Reverend Robert F. Graff, Rector of St. Barnabas Church in Portland, will now give the inaugural prayer.
Almighty God, we gather together today to pray for our state of Oregon and those to whom we entrust the authority of government, that they may make wise decisions for the well-being of our people and society. We remember all those who have served as governor, especially those who are present today, in the moment in which we have paused in thanksgiving for the life and leadership of Tom McCall. As we extend to Victor Attia our confidence and trust for another term of responsibility and commitment, we ask that he may be given such a measure of grace and wisdom in the exercise of his office as will be equal to the challenge of our times. Give him the spirit of discernment, clear thinking, and courage to provide for the needs of all our people. Help him to be gracious and kind in dealing with others. Let him be an inspiration for the dedication and work of all in position of authority, that they may serve you by governing this people well. These prayers we offer in the name of God, who has given us this good land for our inheritance. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Representative Smith and Senator Day will now escort Mrs. Attia to the rostrum. The Honorable Wallace P. Carson, Jr., Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of Oregon, will now administer the oath of office to the Honorable Victor Attia, Governor-elect of the State of Oregon.
I do solemnly swear I do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office of governor.
Duties of the office of governor.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
It is now my high honor to present the Honorable Victor Atiyah, Governor of Oregon, to deliver his inaugural address.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, Governor, Senator Mark Hatfield, I'm using their most important title first. You've brought bright luster to our state during your long tenure as a public servant, and you honor me now with your attendance at my last inaugural address, bringing to a close a circle which began in 1959, when as a freshman legislator, I attended your first inaugural ceremony. Governor Bob Straub, we've been drawn closer together as we engaged in political battle. My respect and admiration for you has been steadfast and deep personal gratitude for your service to our state. Governor Tom McCall, your presence is very much felt by me today. Your glorious voice, this moment is not silent, but is ringing in this chamber, speaking of your deep love for Oregon. And we listen. Dolores, you've been closer to me than anyone in my life. The greatest emotion of all goes to you for your patience and loving understanding. Members of the 62nd Legislative Assembly, and fellow Oregonians, today I begin my 25th year of public life in service to the state of Oregon. For 20 of those years, I embarked on a legislative journey like the one you now begin. Those of you who have worked with me to shape Oregon, and those of you who now turn to the task, can appreciate the perspective that only the years can bring. As great Oregonians passed from the scene, others came forward to take their place. As some issues lingered unresolved, others were squarely faced. Each Oregon year has been marked both by its character and its continuity. Through it all, we've built something very special, the Oregon story. The passage of time alone tells us that the Oregon story is not a book already written. It is a book that is always being written. And we begin a new chapter today as I stand before you at this midpoint of my governorship. 4 years ago, I stood here and I began with a promise and a challenge. I promised to set a high standard of performance in all that I would do. I challenged Oregonians to meet and exceed that standard. At the same time, I said, if all the people of Oregon can take to their hearts the age-old concept of voluntarism, we can reduce the need for government intervention and tax support. We can improve the quality of life in Oregon, and we can grow as a community. And so it has been. The road has not been easy. When we met in January of 1979, few, if any, foresaw the potentials for disaster that lay ahead. Again and again, new challenges arose. As we wearily surmounted one obstacle, another would appear before us. Every crest revealed another to be climbed. But throughout this time of trial, we have been sustained by our inner strength, our Western stamina, and the tremendous pride that we have in ourselves as Oregonians. In the November elections, we were tested once more. We were brought once again to the brink by a series of hard choices that confronted our people. And we were tested in the midst of a recession so deep that, to all but a few, these are the hardest times in memory. But Oregonians did not overwhelm us with rage and rejection. Instead of devastating the foundations of local government and discarding the land use achievements of a decade, Oregonians, in an historic vote, have given us another chance. But make no mistake, this is our last chance. We have a final opportunity to reforge the bonds of public trust. We must make meaningful and lasting reforms in our runaway system of property taxation. We must preserve our priceless achievements in statewide land use planning. And we must accomplish this within the limited means of today, yet be ready to move strongly forward into the better economy of tomorrow. We are balanced on a fragile fulcrum. It is now solely within our hands to decide which way the balance will swing. The opportunities are now before us. The patience of our people is not limitless. The path will be difficult, but the direction is very clear. That direction is embodied in all of my recommendations and begins with the budget and revenue packages now before you. With over $5 billion per year spent in all programs, it's often said that state government is the biggest business in the state, and the governor would do well to run it like one. So I have. In 4 years, despite tumultuous times, we have brought a high level of productivity, economy, and common sense to state government. Oregonians can be proud of their government. We live in one of the best managed states in the nation. We have brought a level of effectiveness to state activities that will last far into the foreseeable future. We are serving our citizens better than ever before. But when we speak of running government like a business, there is a basic condition that we must never forget. Businesses might close their doors, but government dare not. Indeed, cannot. Government cannot fail to uphold the civil rights and property rights of its citizens. Government cannot fail to provide for education and roads, to find aid for the helpless, and to fight for the common good. Government cannot fail to enforce the law and arrest the lawbreaker. It's been truly said that the role of government is not to confer happiness, but to give people the opportunity to work out happiness for themselves. Our nation was founded on that great principle. That is why we cannot allow government to close its doors. Putting a stop to government is putting a stop to the fabric that holds our society together and to the opportunity of all citizens to achieve their own destiny. The budget I've submitted to you reflects in every part these beliefs. This budget asks only that we attend to our most critical needs. Those needs rest upon a series of revenue recommendations, tax reductions, and tax increases. The recommendations are carefully crafted, interwoven, and interdependent. They must be considered as a part of a total revenue package. It must stand or fall on that basis, a total package. A total package of limitation and reform, because reform we must, and limit we must. No message is clearer than those twin messages from the people of this state. In the November election, ballot measure 3 proposed a property tax rollback and limitation that would have unfairly devastated local government and schools in Oregon. That it was defeated is an everlasting credit to Oregon voters. That it almost passed is a final warning to all of us. The property tax limitation and relief proposal now recommended to you is designed to limit responsibly the unchecked growth in real property assessments. It's designed to do so without major damage to hard-pressed local governments. And it is designed in conjunction with measures to provide relief to low and moderate income homeowners and renters. Without action to limit the appalling growth of property taxes, a ballot measure 3 will be back. And next time, it will pass. What we fail to do now will be done for us at the polls, and done in a way that could cripple Oregon. Ballot Measure 6 was the third attempt to abolish our state land use program in Oregon. It was defeated in Oregon by a narrow vote. I support statewide land use planning. I have supported it from the beginning. Land use planning is vital to our future. It is a blueprint for our growth as a state. Yet, we have all felt the heat of anger and resentment that the process has sometimes created. The proposals I recommend for your early action will restore a common sense approach and finish, finally, the plan acknowledgement process. The measures before you will make the system better, faster, and less abrasive. Much has already been done in the past 4 years to improve the process, but the actions I recommend to you represent a critical last step. Without that step, we will surely see another ballot measure 6. And without that step, the accomplishments of a decade, the years of public effort and public dollars will be in danger of being cast into oblivion. Land use and tax reforms are major priorities, but I've recommended to you a number of additional priorities, legislative packages around which much of my budget has been built. separate, significantly important legislation is being introduced at my request in the areas of economic development to build on the strong program we began in 1979 and greatly enhanced last year, sending the signal throughout the land that Oregon wants jobs for Oregonians. Public safety, desperately needed program expansion to add jail space, strengthen the ability of our state police to help fight crime and the narcotics traffic, and bring added assistance to our Attorney General and the district attorneys around the state. Forest products, a series of steps that will marshal significant new assistance for one of our state's keystone industries, and higher education to restore momentum and create a vital new partnership between higher education and our efforts in economic development. Woven into my budget and to each program we have submitted is one overwhelming concern: people. People, Oregonians of all ages, who need jobs, who need security, who need a decent education. People must and will continue to be the number one priority of state government. At the same time, we know that the severe economic downturn has stretched the fabric of society very thin. That is why it has never been more important to remember our commitment to human rights, human dignity, and equal opportunity for every Oregonian. This commitment is never more important than in hard times. It's especially incumbent upon us, the elected representatives of the people of Oregon, to join together with all citizens and strongly reaffirm that the rights, the dignity, and the equality of every Oregonian are matters to us of first importance. 20 years ago, in this chamber, standing where I am now standing, Governor Hatfield reminded us that the problems we meet are never as large as those we dodge. In an era of severe limitations, we've too often taken a path of short-term solutions to the long-term challenges that we face. Instead of seizing opportunities, we have grasped at straws. Instead of making sense of our tax system, we burdened it with short-term answers which have only raised more questions. And instead of making serious reforms in response to overwhelming demands, we sought to appease anger with short-term devices that only compounded the difficulty. If we think now only of this biennium, if we insist on limping through another 2 years with half measures and temporary solutions, our inaction will damage our state for decades to come. It's always difficult to take the long view, but it is critical for the future of Oregon. When Governor Oswald West declared Oregon's beaches a public right-of-way in 1913, his vision preserved a heritage we treasure today. When Governor Tom McCall took heroic steps to begin our state land use programs, and Governor Bob Straub won priceless miles for the Willamette River Greenway, their vision created a heritage our children will enjoy. Before I leave office as governor, I in turn want to see our unmatched Columbia River Gorge preserved and protected for future generations. Like goals of the past, my vision too will require dedication, hard work, and the concerned commitment of many Oregonians. So when I tell you that we must take our hats off to the past, I know that we must also roll up our sleeves for the future, a better future. When we gather here to fulfill the high trust placed in us by the people of Oregon, the decisions we make will be remembered or regretted by our own grandchildren. Truly, we are tomorrow's past. You know my philosophy. You know my dedication to lean government, good management, and essential services for least cost. And each of you shares with me a firm dedication to the values and qualities that make Oregon what it is, a state unique in the nation and the world, and a state to which we pledge our best skills, our highest honor, and our firmest determination. My recommendations are based on my philosophy. That philosophy says, above all, that we must listen to the voices of the people of this state. They're not only the voices in the lobby adjoining this chamber. They're not only the voices that speak through the letters that fill our mailboxes. They're not only the voices that know how to be heard in the hearing rooms and the conference room halls of Salem. They are the voices of every Oregonian from every corner of the state that are clear, if you are but willing to listen. To listen. Because if you listen, you will hear that government by the people is not a theory. It is the living process through which Oregonians have built a western wilderness into the brightest, most progressive, most magnificent state among 50 within the best nation of the world. I believe this very deeply. I know that the people of Oregon join with me in this belief. And I believe that the people of this state not only want to restore Oregon's economic health, but they want with equal fervor to preserve and defend the special qualities that make our state unique. Because Oregon is unique. Once we were pioneers in the great move westward, we've continued our pioneering ways in direct citizen participation in government through the initiative, the referendum, our volunteer boards and commissions, and our strong tradition of a part-time citizen legislature. We are pioneers in planning for the future of our economy, the preservation of our natural resources, the use of our land, and the quality of our life. We must never lose sight of the qualities that make Oregon, Oregon. We must never forget our special combination of natural and human resources. We are a land and a people looked up to from around the world, a state that set the standard in progressive policy making, good government, and a balance between our growth and our resources. We must never yield to lachrymose cynicism, nor can we ever reject the bedrock virtues upon which our progress and our commonwealth have been built. As this 62nd Oregon legislature convenes, as your labors proceed, I know that each of you will want to work to keep faith with the people's trust. As the difficult press of legislative business unwinds before you, I ask you maintain your perspective on the living history of our state, on the chapter of the Oregon story that you personally will write in the months ahead. And I ask that you never forget the special qualities that will live on long after our work is done. When our efforts are history, when others have taken up our place, our achievements can be measured only by the legacy that we leave. I pray that those who follow us will examine our work and share with us in full measure the motivation for all we do, deep humility, honorable service, fierce pride. Humility for the bounty that is ours, service to the citizens that we represent, and pride in the great state that we serve. Our feeling is shared in good times and bad by every citizen. As in the first century of our history, so in the second century and beyond, I know that our citizens and each one of us can stand anywhere in the world and count it a matter of special pride to say, I am an Oregonian.
Thank you very much, Governor Attia. The university singers will now sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. The benediction will be given by Dr. Emmanuel Rose, Senior Rabbi, Temple Beth Israel.
As this hour of inauguration draws to a close, we all rejoice in this glorious day. No matter which our party, it represents the culmination of a precious process, a process ultimately owned by the people. We, all the people, voice our gratitude for this day and for our nation, which is a beacon light to the world's diminishing democracies. And yet the joy of this day is marred by what is nothing less than an American tragedy. In our own state, in our own communities, in this land of opportunity, to 8,000 score Oregonians, it has become a land of opportunity denied. These thousands suffer every indignity from deprivation of resources to deprivation of self-respect. The hungry have become beggars in the street. We do not all see them, but they are there, bereft of the dignity of work, their families engulfed in emotional and economic turbulence, the loss of homes, the collapse of relationships, the loss of self-esteem, denied their place in the sun. Complex are the problems that threaten to bring America to its knees. And therefore, let this day represent, above all else, a commitment to those in despair. May those in power, the governor, the senators, and representatives of our great state, be both moved and haunted by the plight of our downtrodden, turning imagination of what may at first seem impossible into the alleviation of suffering and the restoration of hope, which have been hallmarks of our nation's history. May the governor and his family be blessed with health and strength to courageously meet the awesome challenges of these days. May the senators and representatives be blessed with determination and tenacity to join hands with the governor in confronting the many dilemmas that cry out for resolution on the doorstep of this great hall. May all the citizens of our state become the beneficiaries of sensitive, determined, caring, inspired, inventive, compassionate, and above all, wise leadership. May the trust that has been placed in your hands be fulfilled in such manner as to validate the celebration of this day. Amen.
Everyone will please remain in the chamber in their seats until our distinguished guests have retired from the House chambers. Senators Meeker and Potts and Representatives Campbell and Myers will escort Governor Attia from the House.